Welcome to the Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is an urgent dispatch from the front because we awoke yesterday, to new guidelines for prescribing cholesterol medicines, in particular statin drugs, that suggest that additional 30 or 40 million Americans might require statin drugs. Right now, about 35 million Americans are taking statin drugs. That's a huge number. But they estimate that with these new guidelines, the number might escalate to as high as 70 or 75 million Americans. What's that? Well, that's about one quarter of the entire population of the United States, if I'm doing my math correctly. And that is a staggering number. And I think that this is an example of a real overreach and a rush to judgment that is going to have incredibly deleterious effects on the health of Americans. Now, let me just state up front that I'm not inalterably opposed to statins. Some people in the integrative medicine field believe that no way, no how, under no circumstances should we use artificial chemicals to lower cholesterol or to prevent cardiovascular disease. I do believe, however, that there are some instances where, and it's been demonstrated, people who have super high risk for cardiovascular disease, in particular people who have already had heart attacks or if they've had stents or if they've had bypass surgery, these are people who benefit from cholesterol-lowering medications, despite certain side effects, and there are side effects, and we'll talk a little bit about them during this podcast. There are protective effects of statins for people who are at high risk. But just as, you know, there are medications for rheumatoid arthritis, which are beneficial for the worst possible cases that can't be treated via natural route, or for people who don't choose to apply diet and supplements to these problems, these drugs have to exist. And, you know, they also have to exist from the standpoint of some people who just plain won't take care of themselves. They need a safety net. They need a way of preventing disease from happening, even if they engage in unhealthy lifestyle and behaviors. So with that in mind, however, you know, let's examine what this is all about. Here is the headline from CNN Health. Not on cholesterol meds. New guidelines may change that. If you're not on medicine to lower your cholesterol yet, you might be soon. They call it a tectonic shift in the way doctors will treat high cholesterol. The American Heart Association and the American College of Cardiology on Tuesday, just a couple of days ago, released new treatment guidelines calling for a focus on risk factors rather than just cholesterol levels. The new guidelines could double the amount of people on medication to lower their cholesterol, experts say. And that is, in my opinion, a very scary prospect. But let's take a look at what they're saying here. What they're saying, and actually there's a good part to this, is that part of this is an admission that our previous guidelines for putting people on statins, I used to call this paint-by-numbers medicine because it was like strict guidelines, numerical goals for cholesterol that didn't make sense at all. It was something along these lines: if you had no risk factors at all, if your LDL or bad cholesterol was over 160, you should be on a statin to lower it. If you had some risk factors, maybe you had high blood pressure you had a family history, maybe a couple of risk factors, then it should be less than 130. If you had a lot of risk factors, they wanted you to lower your LDL to under 100. So what we got was sort of a cholesterol limbo. How low can you go? And doctors were stressing, oh my goodness, you're at very high risk. Let's get your LDL down to 70 or 50 or who knows how low they wanted to get it. So they would crank up the medication levels higher and higher and higher, to the point where people were getting all kinds of side effects. And we'll talk a little bit about the side effects of these medications, but among them are muscle aches and pains. That's quite common. Liver problems. And, so this, was, a way to ensure that, some people who were not at risk, merely had high cholesterol, were going to get medication unnecessarily. But also that people who seemingly had okay cholesterol would miss getting medication. You know, and I wish I had a buck for everyone who's got a low cholesterol, who has heart disease or is going to get a heart attack or stroke with a very low cholesterol. And alternatively, people with sky-high cholesterol, they're not ultimately at risk. So what they're saying here is don't treat the numbers, treat the risk. Okay, so that at least I think is a positive step in these new guidelines. But the problem is what they're saying here is that there are certain categories of people, all of them need to be on statin drugs. So if you have demonstrable heart disease, if you've had a stroke or a heart attack, or if you've had a stent or bypass, 100% you should be on a statin drug. That's what they're saying here. Also, and this is interesting, they're saying if you have diabetes, whether it's type 1 diabetes where you require insulin or type 2 diabetes, particularly with type 2 diabetes, if you're between the ages of 40 and 75, everyone should be on a statin drug. And here, that's something that I disagree with, because unfortunately, one of the side effects of statin drugs, and it's been demonstrated, there's an unfortunate tendency up to 20% of people who take statin drugs experience a deterioration in their blood sugar. So it's kind of paradoxical. You're telling people who are already having trouble with their blood sugar, because, you know, it's true that people who have type 2 diabetes have a higher risk of heart disease, but you're actually giving them a drug that may impair their blood sugar control. And that's not good. Also, they're saying absolutely, you know, no longer is a threshold for LDL 160. They're saying if it's way high, if your LDL is 190, then you absolutely need to be on a statin, no questions asked. And that, too, is problematic, because I've seen people who have very high LDL cholesterol, but they also have very high HDL cholesterol, and the HDL is an offset, and they're otherwise healthy and active, and they're okay. And their risk of heart disease is minimal. But they add to this an interesting thing, which is you should be on a statin if your 10-year risk of a heart attack is greater than 7.5%. Now, how in the heck are you going to know that? Well, it turns out that they've set out a handy-dandy little calculator. You can't guess at this. You need to use the calculator. And so the calculator is made available at the website of the American Heart Association, also the National Heart, Lung, and Blood Institute. And it's on the Internet. And you can go to that calculator, and you can ask – they'll ask you a bunch of questions. They'll ask you about your age and your gender, males being a little more at risk than females. Your race enters into it, your total cholesterol levels, your triglycerides, your level of HDL. This is a plug-in. You can just go to the website and plug it in. And whether you have diabetes or high blood pressure, and whether you smoke. And you simply fill in those answers, and the calculator will spit out your risk of cardiovascular disease. There's actually a similar program that you can use for osteoporosis that will tell you your risk of a fracture based on your DEXA score and other, you know, your age, your gender, your smoking status, and various things. So they can now do this by computer. So today I go to the websites where you do the calculation, because I wanted to plug it in for myself and look at some hypothetical cases. And lo and behold, the website has crashed. There's a little message that says, "This page is currently undergoing maintenance and will return shortly. Thank you." Signed, the American College of Cardiology. So it's kind of a little bit like, you know, you go to healthcare.gov, you know, they say, go to the, you know, go and sign up, you know, go check it out. Now, in order to find out whether you should be taking a statin, you should go to one of these, calculator websites. But unfortunately, the websites, have crashed. Hopefully these websites will be online in, short order. But unfortunately, they've crashed. I don't know how long, maybe, you know, it's going to be, you know, which will be online first, healthcare.gov or the statin need calculator that factors in your risk for cardiovascular disease. Yeah, I actually think much less complex task to get your cardiovascular risk calculations together than to reform healthcare in America. So they'll probably be available in a few days. But it's kind of funny that just when this is getting all this publicity, on your mark, get set. Crash. All right. So, what is a problem, however, I really see this as a problem, is that this, criterion of adults who have a 7.5% probability of having, cardiovascular disease in the next 10 years, that they should all be on statins. It's based on incomplete information. For example, the calculator does not take into account something that is very important, which is your weight. All right, whether you're overweight. And not just your weight, but also your body fat percentage. There's no way that you could know that without undergoing a body composition test. But they might ask questions like, what's your waist circumference? Or what's your height to weight ratio? That's not in there at all, and that's very important. So, for example, you could have a very healthy running back like you know, someone who is a running back for the New York Giants, and they would be, you know, typically these running backs are built low to the ground. They may be 5'11", but they weigh, you know, 210 or 220 or more. And an ordinary person who's 5'11", you know, I'm 5'10 or 11, and I weigh 168 pounds. So if I weighed, if I put on weight to 220 pounds, I could be a very unhealthy individual. But if I were a football player, that would be solid muscle. And a lot of it would be in my legs and thighs, so as opposed to in my belly fat. So, you know, this they're going to have to figure out a way to put weight and body composition into this. And then, you know, they say, well, do you have diabetes? Well, you know, you might have full-blown diabetes, but what if? How do you know you might have insulin resistance or metabolic syndrome, and it's undetected whether you have diabetes. The criteria for diabetes, it's actually very, not very stringent. So you might actually, unbeknownst to you, have risk, even though you don't have full-blown diabetes. So that's one of the flies in the ointment. What about highly sensitive C-reactive protein? That's not in there. What about homocysteine? What about LP little a? We know that those are all important risk factors for cardiovascular disease, yet they're not in that calculus as to whether you should be taking a statin drug or not. Also, you know, you can slice and dice, you can slice and dice the LDL cholesterol. We measure at the Hoffman Center oxidized LDL versus unoxidized LDL. The oxidized LDL is more dangerous than the LDL. You can also look at particle size. There's large, dense, it's a large fluffy particles, which are more benign than the small, dense particles. That's not in the calculus for whether you should be on a statin drug. You know, it's kind of like, you know, GIGO, garbage in, garbage out. You know, you fill out this, this form, and also it doesn't account for family history, although people often mess up family history, because if you think about your family and you say, well, the cause of my father's death was a heart attack or their heart stopped, but that individual may have been suffering from chronic debilitating diseases like emphysema or cancer, but the ultimate cause of death was cardiac arrest. And so, you know, in the records, it erroneously reflects that a parent or relative had heart disease when actually, you know, their heart stopped after they died from another cause. So that's one of those things that's going to be a little tricky to find out. But, you know, obviously if you've got a relative or a series of relatives, siblings, parents who have very early heart disease, you might be at higher risk, but that's not in this, calculator that the American College of Cardiology and the American Heart Association provide. And then, of course, there's a test which I really like. And it, to me, it's the ultimate test. It's the EBT heart scan to determine if you have coronary calcification. And if you've got coronary calcification, then it's much more likely that you're going to be at risk for cardiovascular disease. And it's a numerical score. It can be very low, or it can be intermediate, or it can be very high. If you have a very high score, of course, you're at much higher risk. And that's one of the ways that I make a decision about whether people need to be on statins. I mean, I rarely prescribe statins, but often I find that people who seem to have risk factors like high cholesterol and other risk factors, I expect them to have plaque. And when we do the EBT heart scan, it turns out they have no plaque. And then, conversely, sometimes I see people who they're relatively risk-free. They're lean, they exercise, they follow some kind of healthy lifestyle program. Nonetheless, for some reason, perhaps a hereditary reason or their past life indiscretions, they already have advanced calcification on the EBT heart scan. So perhaps the EBT heart scan should be factored into this calculator. The concern I have is that it's all very rote now, and it's almost going to be this very, very strong impetus, which is, if in doubt, put your patient on a statin. And there's even going to be, I think, medical legal pressures for doctors to put patients on statin drugs because, you know, stuff happens to people sometimes in life. And say you've got a patient under your care. I have many patients under my care. And, you know, something goes wrong. A patient gets a heart attack or a stroke. And lo and behold, you had an opportunity to put that patient on a statin and they weren't on a statin. And, American legal system comes after you as a doctor. So you practice defensive medicine, put everybody that you see on statin drugs. And even though, by the way, the vast majority of people who die of heart attacks in America, the vast majority are on statin drugs already. So it doesn't provide a complete bulwark of protection against heart disease, but it provides some relative protection to some certain individuals. So, you know, to think that, you know, if that person had been on a statin, they never would have had a heart attack or stroke, that's wrong thinking. That is not the case at all. So this is going to be a problem because there are a lot of side effects associated with statin drugs. The most notable are liver function abnormalities. But also we see a higher tendency towards diabetes. And by the way, it's now required on statin labels to note that there's a higher risk of type 2 diabetes. That is now well established. And then there's a higher risk of muscle aches and pains. And short of muscle aches and pains, some studies suggest that even if you don't experience actual muscle aches and pains, that your exercise performance may be impaired. So, boy, that doesn't make a lot of sense because one of the best recipes for prevention of cardiovascular disease is to exercise. And if you feel tired and you have a reduced exercise capacity, especially if you're taking very high doses of a statin drug, more likely you're going to have the side effects. Studies with animals that are put on statin drugs than put on treadmills, virtually 100% of the animals go less far and more slowly on the treadmill when they're on statin drugs. At the very same time we put people on statin drugs, you can get partial amelioration of the side effects of statin drugs. Not complete, because patients with statin drugs who react to statin drugs, they'll still have problems. Even if they take coenzyme Q10 or ubiquinol, it's essential to take it because ubiquinol and CoQ10 are important for energy in the cells. And the heart is a very energy-hungry organ, and the brain is certainly too. And so you can mitigate or ameliorate some of the side effects with coenzyme Q10 or ubiquinol in particular. It's reasonable to take those when you're taking a statin. Nowhere is it said that for all these 70 million Americans that they will also be advised to take coenzyme Q10 or a statin. The statin will be covered by insurance, but the coenzyme Q10 or ubiquinol, you're on your own, buddy. it is of interest from the standpoint of the pharmaceutical industry at this juncture. You know, a couple of things are happening. One is these statin drugs are going off patent, and so there's less money to be made with statin drugs. When a drug goes off patent, it can go generic. It's cheaper. But, you know, so what do you do? What do you do about that situation? Well, I'm not saying conspiracy theory, but think about it. You know, how do you maintain market share for a drug that's going off patent? It's going to cost, say, half as much. Well, you can simply double the number of people on the drug, and then your profits will be stable. So this, I think, is a real solution to the quandary that the pharmaceutical industry finds with one of its flagship drugs, statins. Virtually every company out there has its own brand of statins, and they're almost all of them going off patent. But now there's going to be more and more people put on them. And, of course, under the Affordable Care Act, or call it what you will, or Obamacare, now more and more people will be eligible for cholesterol checks, and they'll be eligible for medication subsidies. So we can put millions and millions more Americans on statins, some of whom really need it and some of whom probably don't need it. Other side effects, the concern is that it affects the brain. And so it may cause, for some people, insomnia. It may cause other people to have accelerated dementia. Even there are cases reported where people were thought to have Alzheimer's disease, but it turned out they actually had statin-related brain fog. And with cessation of the statins, immediately they felt better. And I have to say that I've experienced this with some of my patients unnecessarily on statins, particularly very old individuals, very old, you know, people over the age of 80 or 85, many of whom do not have cardiovascular disease. But if they feel weak and debilitated, not a bad idea to try them off statins, because that's an age group where there's not a lot of evidence that statins will dramatically reduce the risk of cardiovascular disease. It's more specifically in the group of middle-aged men where the benefits are greatest. Women, to a lesser extent, achieve benefits with statin drugs. Some women who are at high risk may achieve benefits. So there's a lot of potential side effects. And, you know, one is concerned with the mechanism of action of a medication that lowers cholesterol, because if it lowers cholesterol, cholesterol is a building block for a lot of things in the body, including the sex hormones. There's concern that there could be problems with libido. There could be problems with bone density due to statin drugs. And therefore, we're going to unleash this very, very widespread science fair project on the American populace, where we don't even know what the ultimate results will be. I mean, this is, I think, a real rush to judgment. I looked at the committee that recommended this. It's a bunch of august scientists who were appointed to revise the guidelines. But the American Heart Association has a long history of conflict of interest, that many of the doctors who make these recommendations are on the payroll of the pharmaceutical industry. They're, quote, consultants, and they stand to benefit from a medical paradigm where they're viewed favorably by the pharmaceutical industry that purveys statin drugs. They got dogs in the fight against cardiovascular disease. They believe philosophically in a pharmaceutical approach, and therefore they're more predisposed to look for a drug fix for a big problem that America has. I have a standing invitation out to Dr. John D. Abramson, who is an outstanding researcher. He's written several articles for medical journals about the lack of need for people at low risk of cardiovascular disease to take a statin. And he came to my attention in 2007, by the way, he'll be a guest on the Intelligent Medicine podcast sometime this month or next month, because he's probably getting bombarded with press requests for interviews, because he's an outspoken critic of unnecessary statin use. By the way, he's from Harvard Medical School, And he's author of Overdosed America, which is an excellent book. And he is a well-respected mainstream physician. He's not a firebrand or an alternative medicine practitioner. He's part of the medical establishment, but he is a well-known a proponent of a more guarded approach to the use of statins. The history of this is that U.S. guidelines in 2001 already increased the target population to be treated with statins from 13 million to 36 million Americans. Now we're going to double that and make it 70 million Americans. And he says, and this is what he said in 2007, he says, the controversy involves this question, which people without evident occlusive vascular disease, which is blockage, should be offered statins. He says that not one of the studies done in women and people over the age of 65 provides any evidence whatsoever that statins are helpful in those populations. And he says that even if there's a benefit, the risk reduction of 1.5% is tiny. And that means that 67 people have to be treated for 5 years at great cost and with risk of a lot of side effects to prevent one such cardiovascular event. So another 67 people have to be treated. So that maybe the 66 people unnecessarily are treated, and then one person might get a benefit. And that's not very significant. And this benefit might be limited to just high-risk men aged 30 to 69 years of age. So in women over 69, statins did not reduce total cardiovascular events. That is, in women who did not have pre-existing heart disease. And he concludes that, quote, our analysis suggests that lipid-lowering statins should not be prescribed for true prevention in women of any age or for men older than 69, and that high-risk men aged 30 to 69 should be advised that about 50 patients need to be treated for 5 years to prevent just one event. And he backs this up with all kinds of facts and statistics. Okay, this is back in 2007. So now we're in 2013, and he writes an article in the British Medical Journal, which, by the way, came out a few weeks before this new edict from the American Heart Association about how many more people really need to be on statins and how doctors should be prescribing statins more extensively. The analysis in 2013 that Dr. Abramson wrote, and it's published in the British Medical Journal, should people at low risk of cardiovascular disease take a statin? And once again, he argues that statins have no overall health benefit in people with a 10-year risk of less than 10%. Now, this is at odds with the recommendation by the powers that be that people with a risk of 7.5% or greater need to be on statins. So he's going, you know, this is, and he didn't even, I think, know that this was coming down the pike. Maybe he had some intimations that these new recommendations were on the launch pad because it wasn't a top secret thing, but this blindsided a lot of us that they came up with this recommendation. That's kind of astonishing. He is citing a lot of evidence, based on what are called meta-analyses. Meta-analyses are, studying large numbers of studies. And, what he's saying is that his analysis of all these studies show that statins do not have a significant effect on overall risk of dying in a group of patients who have, to begin with, not that high risk. He is also pointing out that statins have known harms. The risk of myopathy, which is muscle pain, is 50% greater than in non-users. So if you're taking a statin, you have a 50% greater chance of having muscle aches and pains. That's very high. And what he's saying too is that they've masked this side effect. They report that the risk is as low as one half patient per 1,000 patients. He says it's as high as 53 per 1,000 patients. And that's a relatively high risk. Diabetes, he says that there's a 10% increase in the relative risk of developing diabetes while taking statins. That ain't good. Another study shows a 25% in the frequency of physician-reported incidents of diabetes associated with statin therapy, a 50% increase in women. That's a very astounding statistic. 48% increase in the risk of new onset diabetes associated with statins in postmenopausal women in a large study, very well-known study called the Women's Health Initiative Study. He cites a wide range of adverse events, including liver dysfunction, acute renal failure, cataracts, cognitive symptoms, neuropathy, sexual dysfunction, decreased energy, exertional fatigue, psychiatric symptoms, including depression, memory loss, confusion, aggressive reactions. He says on the plus side, there may be a slight, decreased risk in the, incidence of esophageal cancer. So, what Dr. Abramson is saying and other people are saying is that these recommendations are really not ready for prime time, that they will put more patients at risk of serious side effects and problems, and just don't know why they've gotten out there with such aggressive recommendations for cholesterol lowering when this still is a controversial area. And we're still conducting a great experiment. And what's at stake is the health and well-being of tens of millions of Americans. Plus, not to mention the costs associated with subsidizing such a program. And you could call this kind of like a stimulus program for the lagging pharmaceutical industry. I mean, watch where the stocks go this week of many of the pharmaceutical companies that are manufacturers of statin drugs. You're going to see a major uptick as a result of this, new style of prescribing. But, what's more important, your stock portfolio, or your health, or the health of your loved ones, or the overall health of America? I don't think that this is a step forward. And, we're going to, continue reporting on this issue. I think that, once again, this is going to take away from individual physician initiative and individual physician discretion. It's taking the tools away from the doctors and creating a series of guidelines that people and medical professionals will blindly have to adhere to in prescribing statin drugs. It's really not why I entered the medical profession or went to medical school, to be dictated by the powers that be, that in spite of my own personal concerns and reservations, that patients of mine need to be on statin drugs. It's getting pretty bad. It's getting to the point where, I manage many of my patients with high cholesterol, with diet, with exercise, with natural products to protect their hearts. There are many things like resveratrol, higher doses of vitamin D and vitamin K2, omega-3 fatty acids, chiolic aged garlic extract, olive leaf extract. These are all very beneficial substances to protect the heart, and not to mention magnesium, which has been shown to be very important in preventing cardiovascular disease. No mention of any of these things like coenzyme Q10, carnitine, ribose, in prevention, treatment of cardiovascular disease. There should be a big push to include these natural substances and even provide people with subsidies if we're going to be spending billions of dollars anyway. And no, medical establishment in collusion with the government is subsidizing just statins as a one-stop shop for cardiovascular prevention. Nor is there mention of the right kind of diet, where you're coming around to recognition that the low-fat diet, the food pyramid that so long has been recommended by folks, including the American Heart Association, that took a major wrong turn there a couple of decades back. And yet, they're still tenaciously claiming that they see the truth. And now the latest is, now that the low-fat diet has failed to curb our epidemic of cardiovascular disease, we're going to put a lot more people on statins. Well, that's not the way that I think we're going to make steps forward here in America in our battle against cardiovascular disease. And that's why I'm sharing this with you on today's Intelligent Medicine podcast. So let's not rush to judgment. Let's, you know, keep our bearings here. Let's look at this issue objectively, and I promise to report on it on Health Talk, my radio program on WR, as well as via the Intelligent Medicine podcast. Look for me to invite guests on the program to talk about this issue, among them Dr. John Abramson of Harvard, who will provide his well-reasoned argument against overuse of statin drugs. This certainly is a type of overkill. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman. Thanks for joining me for this urgent dispatch from the front. This is the Intelligent Medicine Podcast.